Welcome to the Surrogacy UK podcast series. My name is Natalie Silverman and I host the Fertility Podcast, and I'm working with Surrogacy UK to create this series of podcasts to help you understand all about what's involved becoming a surrogate, or if you are looking to work with a surrogate as an intended parent, how it would be for you. In this episode, we're going to hear from four surrogates, Janine, Sarah, Michelle and Katie. The chat was the Friday night before the spring conference, and it's chaired by Fiona O'Driscoll, who is on the board of trustees for Surrogacy UK. So you don't hear too much of me, but I do pop up from time to time. And I think if you are considering becoming a surrogate, these ladies sharing their remarkable journeys will hopefully answer any questions, or some of the questions that you might have.
My name is Shell Green. I've been a surrogate for 3.5 years. A friend of mine donated her eggs on Facebook, and she'd received a card and some flowers from the couple that had received her eggs, just saying how grateful they were and that they'd had a baby boy, or, you know, it's through the clinic. And she sort of posted it on Facebook, and I thought, oh, what an amazing thing to do. Perhaps that's something I'd really like to do. So I started researching egg donation and stumbled across Surrogacy and then Surrogacy UK. And I was just like, well, that's amazing. I really should do that instead. That's much better. So then I joined Surrogacy UK. So I've been a surrogate once. So I had twins for a couple back in March 2015. And I'm currently pursuing a journey which is taking its time a little bit. So I've been on a second journey for about 16 months now.
My name's Sarah Jones, and I've been a surrogate 4 times. My eldest surrogate baby is now 13, and my youngest surrogate baby is 3 months. I came across surrogacy, like Shell, looking at egg donation, and didn't see it as much of a leap to surrogacy from egg donation. Looked at Surrogacy UK, liked the ethos, liked how friendly everybody was, and 15 years later, I'm still here.
My name is Janine Gregory. I have been a surrogate once. I gave birth to Ella in June 2016. I came into surrogacy because it took me a good 18 months to conceive my first child, and kind of had a bit of a glimpse into the life of wanting a child. And also I had a few friends that had infertility issues, and I love being pregnant, so I kind of thought, why not? Let's go for it. I never thought about donating eggs like Sarah and Shell has until well into my surrogacy journey, and now I've done egg donation and I'm doing it again. I don't plan on doing surrogacy again due to having 3 cesarean sections, and I don't think it would be wise to have a 4th. I don't think I'd be signed off for the GP for one, and I wouldn't want to do surrogacy through any other means other than Surrogacy UK.
Hi, I'm Katie Bazant, and I've been with Surrogacy UK for 4 years now, almost, and I've just had my first surrogate baby almost 12 weeks ago. I've always kind of known that I wanted to be a surrogate. For me, it's just been an innate feeling that's kind of always been there. I'd see it in TV shows, in storylines, and think, oh, I'd do that for my sisters if they needed it. I absolutely would. And I didn't know you could do it in this country until I, 4 years ago, was reading a magazine, and there was an article from a surrogate in there saying what her experiences were, and that she found it by researching on the internet. And I was like, "Ooh, you can do that." So that's what I did. I had a bit of a Google, found Surrogacy UK, found another organization, looked at them both, decided Surrogacy UK was the way for me through its friendship first, you know, contact, kind of lifelong involvement with the couple. And, you know, if I wanted to watch the child grow up, that's my reward for doing it. So that's why I joined Surrogacy UK.
I'm Fiona, and I'm lucky enough to have had a surrogate help me have my family. So my babies are Surrogacy UK babies number 32 and 38, but we call them Hannah and Fraser for short. And they are 8 and 6 now. And I also am a trustee at Surrogacy UK, like Sarah. So we try to help give a little bit back to the organisation that's made our lives so full. Before you guys came to Surrogacy UK, what research did you do?
Google.
Yeah,
what
Google
else?
Too.
Not in yet. I don't think it existed back when you joined, though, Sarah.
It did exist. It existed 15 years ago. But yeah, no, internet, yeah. Just Googled egg donation, and egg donation and surrogacy came up in the same categories, so it wasn't a giant leap to look at surrogacy. And actually, 15 years ago, there wasn't that much information around. There were sort of two basic organisations with not a lot of information until you actually joined. So for the layperson who didn't know anything about surrogacy at all, you had to join an organisation before you found anything out. Luckily enough, one of the founders from Surrogacy UK messaged me and said, would you like to know a bit more about surrogacy? And she was the first person I spoke to in real life about surrogacy, and that contributed to me joining Surrogacy UK.
Yeah, I, like Sarah, Googled and found that when I Googled egg donation, surrogacy came up as well. And yeah, so for me, there was three organisations when I was Googling, and Surrogacy UK just stuck out like a sore thumb with its Friendship First ethos. I like the way that you make friends.
Again, yeah, just Googled, and Surrogacy UK was the first one I spotted, along with another one. I contacted Jane and she told me that there was a spring conference literally 2 weeks ahead. So I came along to that and found out so much information from the conference back 5 years ago. And yeah, Surrogacy UK was the organisation for me, with its Friendship First ethos.
Yeah, same. So from Google again, it was Surrogacy UK and one other. I actually preferred the other one's website. I thought there was more information on it, even though it looked like it was still from the 80s, than was currently on the Surrogacy UK website, even though we've now much, much improved it. And I downloaded both their application forms, and the Surrogacy UK application form was at least three times as thick as the other organisation, and it had really deep questions in that you had to think about. And I thought, if this organisation's asking me these, they're going to look after me, because they realise that these are important things, like, what do your family think, what will your friends think, how are you going to tell your children? They weren't in that other organisation's application form, and I thought, if they're not picking up on these important things and making me think about them, then I think there's going to be more support in Surrogacy UK who will. So that's why I leant towards this way and came to a conference. That was my first ever event. A bit like a rabbit in the headlights, isn't it, for your first one? A bit overwhelming because there's so much going on, and went from there.
What were your first impressions when you first came to Surrogacy UK?
You find the nearest corner and back away, because you're so worried because there's all these people talking and you're like, oh, I don't know anybody. But you soon warm up, and everyone is so friendly and really inviting, and everyone chats to you. Yeah, and it's just a great place to be.
You kind of cling to the first person who starts speaking to you. Oh, someone spoke to me, good, I will stay with them for the whole of this event and I won't move from my chair and I'll just speak to these people. And then at your next one, you're a bit more relaxed and you get introduced to other people and go from there and just build such a big network of support and friendship from there on.
I think for me, my first, it wasn't a conference, it was an event, but because it was so long ago, when Surrogacy UK was in its infancy, the whole membership turned up and there was about 20 of us. So it was a lot easier for me, because you could get to know people quite easily and it wasn't quite so terrifying. However, I retired for a little while and then came back a few years later, and I went to my first event and was absolutely terrified because I was going on my own, and yeah, just the same as everybody else, just who do I talk to? But within like 10 minutes you were chatting about sperm and egg quality, so that sort of breaks the ice a bit.
And how does that compare about with how you feel now when you come to an event?
Now you come to them to see your friends and meet up with people rather than for information, because we all kind of have a good handle on what happens and how it works. And it's great speaking to new people, but you sometimes forget how much they don't know. So they'll ask you a question and you're like, what? That seems really obvious. But no, because they're so new, they just don't, do they? But it's great coming out because, yeah, you're here to see your friends and people who joined with you at the same time, and see them complete their journey either by becoming parents or becoming a surrogate is brilliant.
The thing that people always ask me is about the acronyms. So you get used to talking in IPs and GTKs and things like that, and then newbies come and they have no idea what these acronyms mean. And so you end up even just telling people what these acronyms mean. IP, which means intended parent. GTK, which means getting to know. I've gone blank now.
TTC, trying to conceive.
Yeah. BFP, big fat positive. So things like that. But I think for me, conference now is meeting the people that I speak to online all the time. I speak to other surrogates every day online, and it's really nice a couple of times a year to actually come and meet them in person, because we're so the other end of the country from each other. We'd never really all get together in one place.
So going back to when you were first looking into surrogacy, what, if anything, did you know about it?
I knew absolutely nothing, and I didn't have a clue whether it was something that I could do right now. Could I involve my family in it? Would I be able to do it? Would I have to fund it myself? Would I have my expenses paid? Did I get paid for it? What? I didn't absolutely know nothing at all. So when I was very, very newbie, when I come to find out all about surrogacy, but it was really easy to find that surrogacy in the UK, it's obviously illegal to financially benefit from any arrangement, and that your expenses are paid for you. So, you know, you're not out of pocket as a surrogate, which I thought maybe I'd have to wait till I paid off my mortgage or whatever before I could become a surrogate. But thankfully, I found out that I could become a surrogate right now and it wouldn't financially affect me.
When I came to look into surrogacy, I knew nothing about it at all. But as I said before, I came to a conference and spoke to lots of surrogates and got all the information from them, from, you know, the expenses to making the call to meeting people to every aspect of it. And to be honest, there's so much to take in. Now I look back and think, actually, there's not so much to learn. But whilst you're talking to newbies now, then you realise that actually there is a lot to know and to learn and to understand and to take in.
I think as well, talking to people that aren't involved with surrogacy, there's still a lot of things that the general public still don't know about surrogacy. Like, I still get asked, is it illegal? Is that not illegal in the UK? Or, you know, I bet you're going to buy a nice house with it, with all your expenses that you get. And it's like, well, no, I don't really. You know, I still live in the same house and drive the same rubbish car that I had before. You know, so I think for the general public, there's still so much that people don't know about surrogacy. And when you're in the world, it's normal. So you come to a conference and it's normal to talk about surrogacy. But when you're out there in the general public, you still have to dispel a lot of myths for people.
It's good to teach other people, though, and to try and get other people to understand our world.
And that's it. You don't realise there is a surrogacy world, do you? When I first joined, I knew nothing about surrogacy, same as everyone else. It was a big, massive learning curve. With the help of Google, as we've said, and with the help of coming to conferences and speaking to members. I remember my stepdad asked me, so the conference you went to, how many people were there? And I was like, about 300. And he was, oh, I thought you were going to say about 50. You know, no one realises how big it is and how much there is that goes on.
It's a very unspoken subject as well, infertility. I remember every time, especially when I was pregnant with the twins, every time anyone asked me about my bump, I just couldn't walk along and not say that they weren't mine and it was surrogacy. And everyone wanted to ask you about, you know, fertility and infertility. And it's amazing how many people go, oh yeah, I suffered with infertility. Oh yeah, my auntie or my uncle couldn't have children because, and they would love to have been able to access surrogacy. So yeah, it's amazing how many people just relate as soon as you say it.
Yeah, I think for me, some of my closest friends who I've known for years and years and years, when I started being a surrogate, they went, oh, we were thinking about that. We were thinking about using a surrogate. And it's like, I've known you for years, you know, and we talk about all sorts of things, but you don't talk to me about the fact that you're going through this and you were looking at possibly having a surrogate, that it's got that far down the line for you. It's really strange.
And it's amazing, as soon as you say to someone, like you say when you're pregnant, I would never say it was my bump, and I work in a school in an office, so I always get the parents coming in and I'd be like, oh no, it's not mine. And the stories you get, oh yes, we adopted ours because we couldn't have children, or like you say, my sister can't. And they go into really intimate details with you about a subject that they would actually never speak about normally. So it's really amazing how it opens that door and how many people out there are struggling with it. Mm. And it's just not really something that's talked about in the same way as other illnesses.
Yeah. Mm. Even my mother-in-law found that she had her friends coming to her asking about it for their family members. So it definitely kind of is a widened subject, if you like.
Yeah, I get family members now that message me, say, I've met this person and they want to talk to you about surrogacy. So it'll be a complete stranger, but a member of your family's obviously been talking about you. Yeah, you talk to a lot of people through family referrals now.
Yeah, yeah. Facebook messages from people saying, oh, I hear you know about surrogacy. My such and such friend is struggling with infertility. Is there any advice you can give, or where can you recommend that she goes, or is there a clinic that you can recommend? You know, it goes on.
When you were still at the beginning of your adventure with surrogacy, what were you worried about? What were your concerns?
I was concerned because obviously as a surrogate mother, you're the legal parent of that baby until it all goes through the courts. And before I met my IPs, I was worried, what if they didn't want it? What if there was something wrong with the baby and they could just walk away and I would be left with a baby and I would be responsible for that baby? And that was a huge worry for me, which was only dispelled by meeting my IPs and thinking, these IPs have worked so hard to have a baby, there's no way they're going anywhere. But for me, that was my biggest concern, I think.
Yeah, that's the kind of the number one question that we as surrogates get asked is, won't you want to keep the baby? And I always feel like saying, well, are you definitely going to take the baby? Because, you know, we are the legal parents, and should you decide to not take that baby, then that's my responsibility. And so I guess it is a worry, although very quickly it's dispelled, a bit like when intended parents ask the question, will the surrogate keep the baby? No, she won't.
I guess my biggest fear is actually, will anyone like me enough to let me do this for them? You know, I remember my IP saying, you know, they feel so, it's such an honour to have someone offer to get to know them, to help them. They say, you know, do you like us enough that you're going to grow our baby? And I'm like, you like me enough that you're going to let me and that you trust me to do that for you? And, you know, the worry is, what if no one wants me as a surrogate? So that was the big concern.
Yeah, what happens if I don't? What happens if I'm too fat, or my BMI is too high,
or as a straight surrogate,
I don't look right,
or
yeah, my nose is wonky. Yeah. You know.
So you're worried that as a surrogate who's donating, a straight surrogate, so you're donating your own egg, you might be concerned that someone doesn't like the look of the baby.
Or maybe when my kids are acting up, they might not want my genetics.
I remember when I introduced the guys to my sister and I told her, don't you put them off my genetics. You be on your best behaviour when they come round and meet you. And like introducing your IPs to your family is like introducing a new partner to your family. You want them to approve of your family and like you, whether that's whether you're a straight or a host surrogate, because your family help you and support you and you all need to get along. So yeah, those are the fears for me. It was, will they like me? Will they like my family? Will they let me do it for them?
Will they like my house? Is it tidy enough?
Yes.
I remember when my IPs first came round to visit, oh my God, the amount of cleaning that went into my house that day.
For me, I worried about contact because I wanted to be a part of the child's life forever, not like as bringing the child up or anything, just to, you know, see them a few times a year. I mean, more if possible, but just to watch the family grow, really. Yeah, my fear was that that wouldn't happen, but hopefully, I mean, my team seem like it's great, so hopefully it'll be like that forever.
I don't think there's any hopefully about it, is there?
Yeah.
You're going to see each other till you die.
What sort of reactions have you had from your family and friends through the process?
My first time of being a surrogate, my family staged an intervention. They were like, you can't possibly do this, you don't know what you're doing, blah, 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 you know, and they all sat me down and told me the reasons why I shouldn't do it. And it really quickly became clear that I knew so much more about it than my family did.
What were their concerns?
That my IPs were baby grabbing, you know, rich people that would just leave me and abandon me and just use me, I suppose. And so I asked them to trust me which they had a hard time doing. But then I brought my IPs to meet them. And as soon as they met them, there was never a question again. They never questioned me again. As soon as they met my first IPs and saw how lovely they were and how normal they were, you know, they were just a regular couple who wanted a baby. That dispelled all their myths. So, and then when I was talking about being a surrogate a second time, they just went, yeah, whatever. So it certainly helped.
Most of my family and friends have been brilliant and very, very supportive. The only thing that they tend to worry or did worry about before I had Ella was my emotions and my mental state, I think, after I'd given birth to her. And they were all very much on tiptoes around me after I had her as well. Just, are you all right? Is a, you know, if you're going to cry, does that mean that, you know, you want the baby back and stuff like that? But, you know, as soon as they kind of got that where I was afterwards and they understood and they saw how I was and saw how we were as a team with Ella, because Ella and the family all stayed around for a week afterwards, and them all being part of that was good and put minds at rest.
You said that it really reassured them seeing how you were. How were you?
Relaxed and happy. I was happy to see them as a family, them completed everything that I'd been working towards for the last 2.5 years. It's, you know, finally happened, and I was happy and proud and amazed by everybody in the team that we did it, and it was just amazing. It's such an amazing experience. Really is. If you want to do it, do it. I say, if you're thinking about it, do it.
Yeah, I definitely walked around on cloud nine for a very long time after. And I still do. I'm still very, very proud. When I see the girls, the twins, I'm very, very proud of what I managed to achieve.
It is. I was talking to a new IP who I travelled up with in the car today. And I was saying, people say to you, I'm sure you girls have had it, how selfless you are, how amazing you are. And I said, I think I'm so selfish because I got such a buzz out of doing it. Yeah. It's something I can look back on and say, look what I did with my life. What have you done? You know, your family have to come along for the ride with you, whether they want to or not, and support you through a pregnancy and a birth and all the stuff that can go with that. So, no, we're not selfless. Mm. I feel very selfish, but it's amazing.
How many times can a person say that they've changed a person's life?
You helped make a family.
Yeah. Made someone's dreams come true.
It's not just the parents, it's the grandparents and the aunties and uncles and cousins, and you're changing a whole family. And there's not many times you can actually say that.
It's like the ripple effect. You throw a stone into a pond and the ripples just keep going and going and going and going, and that's what it's like.
And going back to the question about how your family feel, I know my mum and stepdad are so proud of me. And that's such a nice feeling too. Mm. You know, I joke to them, they've got this wall in their house where my sisters have got their graduation pictures up and I've never graduated. So I jokingly said, I'm going to hold the baby up and wear like a degree thing and get a cap and gown and get my picture on that wall, because that's what I've done.
I think for families as well, for my family, it was quite... They didn't sort of know how to treat the pregnancy. Could they talk about it, you know, when we were at family events? Could they make reference to the fact that I was getting bigger or, you know, how I was feeling? And it took them a little while to get used to the fact that actually they could, you know, rub the bump and talk about my morning sickness and things like that. Because I think at the beginning they thought, well, if we just ignore it, it'll be easier for Sarah when she has the baby. But I didn't want that. I wanted them to acknowledge the fact that I was pregnant and that we were going to have a baby. As a team, we were going to have a baby. But my family very quickly sort of got on board with that, and they still see the children now afterwards, so they have their link with it as well.
It's funny because my dad was completely the opposite, and he bleated to everyone that would listen that I was a surrogate and how proud he was. And so he would go down the pub and tell everybody and get drunk and tell everybody in the pub how amazing I was. And then they'd come up to me and say, oh, yeah, you're pregnant with a surrogate baby. Yeah, how do you know me? So that was quite funny, but he was very, very proud.
Yeah, I mean, it all turned around. I mean, at my wedding, my dad's speech was all about surrogacy. at my wedding.
Oh, that's so nice.
And for my dad, who is never very, you know, gregarious with his emotions, it was the most choking part of my entire wedding for my dad to actually say those things out loud to other people.
Right, before we all burst into tears, let's before you found out how wonderful it was, but when you were still at the beginning of your adventure with surrogacy, what were you worried about? What were your concerns?
I was concerned because obviously as a surrogate mother, you're the legal parent of that baby until it all goes through the courts. And before I met my IPs, I was worried, what if they didn't want it? What if there was something wrong with the baby and they could just walk away and I would be left with a baby and I would be responsible for that baby? And that was a huge worry for me, which was only dispelled by meeting my IPs and thinking, these IPs have worked so hard to have a baby, there's no way they're going anywhere. But for me, that was my biggest concern, I think.
Yeah, that's the kind of the number one question that we as surrogates get asked is, won't you want to keep the baby? And I always feel like saying, well, are you definitely going to take the baby? Because, you know, we are the legal parents, and should you decide to not take that baby, then that's my responsibility. And so I guess it is a worry, although very quickly it's dispelled, a bit like when intended parents ask the question, will the surrogate keep the baby? No, she won't.
I guess my biggest fear is actually, will anyone like me enough to let me do this for them? You know, I remember my IP saying, you know, they feel so, it's such an honour to have someone offer to get to know them, to help them. They say, you know, do you like us enough that you're going to grow our baby? And I'm like, you like me enough that you're going to let me and that you trust me to do that for you? And, you know, the worry is, what if no one wants me as a surrogate? So that was the big concern.
Yeah, what happens if I don't? What happens if I'm too fat, or my BMI is too high,
or as a straight
I don't
surrogate,
look right,
ugly, or
yeah, my nose is wonky. Yeah. You know.
So you're worried that as a surrogate who's donating, a straight surrogate, so you're donating your own egg, you might be concerned that someone doesn't like the look of the baby.
Or maybe when my kids are acting up, they might not want my genetics.
I remember when I introduced the guys to my sister and I told her, don't you put them off my genetics. You be on your best behaviour when they come round and meet you. And like introducing your IPs to your family is like introducing a new partner to your family. You want them to approve of your family and like you, whether that's whether you're a straight or a host surrogate, because your family help you and support you and you all need to get along. So yeah, those are the fears for me. It was, will they like me? Will they like my family? Will they let me do it for them?
Will they like my house? Is it tidy enough?
Yes.
I remember when my IPs first came round to visit, oh my God, the amount of cleaning went into my house that day.
For me, I worried about contact because I wanted to be a part of the child's life forever, not like as bringing the child up or anything, just to, you know, see them a few times a year. I mean, more if possible, but just to watch the family grow, really. Yeah, my fear was that wouldn't happen, but hopefully, I mean, my team seem like it's great, so hopefully it'll be like that forever.
I don't think there's any hopefully about it, is there?
Yeah.
You're going to see each other till you die.
How did you talk to your children about your plans?
My children were 7 and 5 when I first decided to do surrogacy and when I met my first intended parents, who I had the twins for. And I very early on explained exactly in child terms to my children what I would be doing. So I explained that Caroline's tummy was broken and unfortunately she really wanted to have a baby, but she couldn't have a baby. And we were going to use Caroline's seed and plant it into mummy's tummy so she would grow the baby, because she's very good at growing babies because she grew you. And I said, wouldn't that be a great thing to do for somebody? And they were like, yeah, all right, mum. And carried on doing exactly what they were doing before I had the conversation. So I think because they were so young, it was just, okay, that's fine. They kind of were more accepting than what adults were. Mm. They take it as read. Okay, yeah, mum says that's what she's doing. That's fine.
Yeah, children do just take what you say. My son was 10 when I started. So I just said to him,
I want to help other people grow children. They can't always do it themselves. I said I was going to host surrogate, so I said a doctor would take their eggs, their sperm, their make their baby and then put it in me. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's okay, that's fine. Then when I switched to straight surrogacy, he was a bit older. He was 12, maybe. And that's not something I wanted to talk to a 12-year-old boy about. So I just said, this time I do it, I'm going to use my own eggs. So that does mean the baby will have a link to you, but it's not going to be your brother or sister, which he understood. He's got a half-sister through his dad. I've got stepbrothers and stepsisters. So he understands that's how a family was. But I've never talked to him about how it was done. That's not something, but he clearly knows. I wanted to, now he's 14, I wanted to make sure he knew that I did not sleep with any of them. Because that is not something I wanted to think. But I never actually explicitly said it, but he did the other month make some joke about how I was so sad and lonely and single that I couldn't even have sex to get pregnant. It was done else another way. So I thought, right, okay, at least he understands. But he's absolutely fine. He's not bothered at all by the baby. He's a typical 14-year-old. You know, he held her when she was born, but it's like, eh, whenever she comes round and visits now, well, yeah, it's nice to see her, but he's not bothered by her, doesn't see her as his sister, and it's all good.
My eldest was 6 when I looked into surrogacy first, and she was so bonded with my IPs that we didn't have much of a conversation about it. It was like, Andrea can't have a baby, and I can have babies, so is it okay if we do it for them? And she was like, yep, because she was 6. That's as much as we went into it when she was 6. Obviously, I came back to surrogacy and I'd had 2 younger children, and it was a lot easier for them because they'd got older surrogate children. So they'd got 2 older surrogate children who they'd known from birth, so they'd grown up with those surrogate children. So it was really easy. The 3rd and 4th time around, because they already had a relationship with the babies that I'd given birth to, and it was just normal. So they were just like cousins or friends' children. So for them, it was completely normal and still continues to be completely normal now. You know, they have a nice relationship, but they're not brothers and sisters. My kids sort of go through who I've had in my stomach, but they only consider themselves to be, you know, there's the 3 siblings and that's it.
So overall, in comparison to your expectations, how was the experience for you guys?
Well, I've done it 4 times, so, you know, it's a positive experience. Definitely, you want to do it again and again. So I'm now retired for the 2nd time. I was retired 10 years ago and then came back and had 2 more. But it's really difficult to be retired. I've retired because I'm 40 this year. Not that that has anything to do with being a surrogate, because I know I've probably got a good 10 years left in me. But I've had 4 surrogate children and 3 children of my own. And it seemed like a good time to stop. However, Erica is now 3 months old and it doesn't seem like a really good time to stop anymore, especially coming to the conference and starting talking to people and people that have been your friends for years and years who are still struggling to have a baby. It makes you feel incredibly guilty that you can't offer. And I know I joke and I say, oh, I'm just going to avoid everybody at the conference. But these people are your friends and you would do it for your best friends. And these IPs have become my best friends. So it's really difficult to be retired. It carries a lot of guilt for me. Yes, probably not the best time to ask me at 3 months postpartum.
Yeah, it's definitely like a drug. But I described my experience at the end to people that it was like a high like no other, and there was no drug that could match how I felt afterwards, and therefore it is very addictive. And I have to do it again because I need to get that. I need to get that high and that happiness again, definitely.
Before I had Ella, I mean, it took quite a while to have my first surrogate baby. So whilst I was pregnant with Ella, I was like, no, definitely not doing this again. It's just taken too long. It's too much heartache and things like that, really. But once I had her, I was like, I definitely can see why people do this time and time again, because it truly is amazing. But unfortunately, I won't be doing it again. But I can definitely see why people do it time and time and time again.
Yeah, I knew it would, you know, it'd be good and seeing all the surrogates before me have it, but it doesn't prepare you for that actual buzz and highlight of just that moment once the baby's out and it's, and you know, she was in her daddy's arms and it was just like, oh, I need to do that again. Straight away.
For me, it was always when the skin-to-skin contact happened and you're sort of sat there, you've just given birth or had a section, and you're sat there and you're looking at this family with such love because they're all having this skin-to-skin contact. And that's it for me, that moment, not the birth, not anything like that, but that moment when you finally turn and watch them as a family, because they might have skin-to-skin contact for half an hour or an hour, and you're just in love with watching them. You know, you look at them like when you fall in love with your partner. That's how you look at that family who are all sat there for the first time. That's my high.
You feel incredibly privileged to be sat there and watching. I described surrogacy as like a cardboard box, and everyone's around the cardboard box watching what's going on inside. And I felt like I was very privileged to sit there and watch what was going on in the cardboard box, and watching the family bonding with the IPs bonding with their baby that I just delivered for them. And it's incredible to watch.
Going back to like expectations, I mean, I thought when I joined that I would meet a couple and I would have their baby and that would be great. But like Janine, it took me a little bit longer. It took me 4 years. It took me three sets of IPs before I finally got pregnant. And even though there was a lot of heartache on that way, I would still wouldn't change it. I would go through it all again for seeing them with have their daughter now. It's just amazing.
I've got to say to you, ladies, I'm not meant to be doing the talking because I'm not a surrogate, but from an IP perspective, the privilege of watching you guys and your birth partners do what you do as well, to be there, watch that intimate interplay between you and your husband or your partner or whoever's there to support you. I tell you what, when Kate was giving birth, she looked like the most beautiful woman on earth to me. And what you said there about falling in love with your partner, it was exactly the same from an IP perspective. Right, we better all stop crying now and get on with business. So through the process, it's not always easy, is it? You know, you guys have said there have been some difficult times. Where did you turn for support?
Through to SUK. I think it's so important to get that support network, because yes, my family have been amazing and my friends have been great, but they just don't know the difference of what it's like to be a surrogate. So when I say it's been hard, I miscarried my first surrogate pregnancy. And yes, my sister had gone through a miscarriage, but she hadn't miscarried someone else's baby, and it brings a whole other set of emotions into it. But there's, within SUK, we're such a great community. Sadly, if you go through something sad, someone else has been through it. Someone else has experienced and felt everything you felt, so you can go to them and get that support. Sadly, that team ended after the miscarriage, and I honestly believe in my heart, is because my IPs didn't have a support network around them to know how to deal with the miscarriage and my feelings and their feelings. Whereas now my second team ended because my IM passed away unexpectedly. But me and the IF are still the best of friends, because we had such a great support network. We were able to support each other, and he will always be part of my family. He will always be like a brother to me. And now my current IPs, one of the things that attracted me to them was how many friends they had within SUK, that they were active on our message boards and that they came to all the social events. So I knew that we were a host team before we turned straight, and we had three failed transfers, but we could get through that because we had all that support. We knew how to help each other. So that's, for me, has been a massive thing. And of course, my family, they've carried me through all of those things, but the SUK community, definitely.
I don't think anyone other than other surrogates can understand how you're feeling. Nobody. Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of different emotions than when you're having your own children. carrying a surrogate baby is completely different, and nobody else can understand that other than other surrogates. So for me to have that peer support from other surrogates was... I couldn't have done it alone. I know that. I don't know how people do it without other surrogates to talk to.
I just completely agree with these guys that you need the support within SUK and the other surrogates, because they just get it.
Yeah, they know exactly how you're feeling.
So when you look back on your experiences, what's the most important thing that you've learned about being a surrogate?
how easy it is, that you think it's complicated, but it's not actually that complicated. Things that you think are going to be complicated, like emotions and meeting someone and building a relationship, they're the really easy things. So for me, it's just to sort of get the message out, really, that it's as simple as you want to make it. So if you're quite laid back about the whole process and are open to having nice friendships with lots of people, the process is really easy.
For me, it's the importance of the support and the peer support and, you know, talking to those people who go through it too and having them there so that if things are difficult, yes, when Sarah says it's easy, she means the relationships and things, but getting pregnant is hard. And it's not an easy thing to do, even if you've had your own children. So going through that and having your peer support there is definitely very, very important.
I agree with these girls, but I also think that it's taught my family, my husband and my children a great deal. I hope it's taught my kids to be kind and to be generous and help people as much as you can.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Janine. I hope that it's taught my children that it's good to give and do whatever you can to help somebody else. That's what I've learned.
So one final question. What would you say to somebody who was thinking about becoming a surrogate?
Do it.
Definitely do it.
If you're thinking about it, you know in your heart you want to. It's almost like a calling, isn't it? It's like you found what you're meant to be doing or what you're meant to have done with your life. So if it's in you and if it's in your mind, it's never going to go away. So just get on with it and do it.
How fascinating was that to listen to? We really hope you enjoyed finding out what really motivates surrogates. They are an amazing group of women. If you've been inspired and you are interested in becoming a surrogate yourself or just want to find out more, all the information you need is at surrogacyuk.org. You can follow us on Twitter at surrogacyuk.org and on Facebook, it's just facebook.com/surrogacyuk.org. We hope to hear from you.